Thank you, Eric. It is Bill Leff. It is Wendy Snyder, and we're on 720 WGN. And it is it Breast Cancer Awareness Month? I think it is. And our guest in the studio with us right now is Christia Donaldson, founder and CEO of Thank God It's Natural, TGIN. It's a line of hair and skin products made with all natural ingredients. Christia, first of all, thank you so much for coming down.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Wendy. It's great to be here.
You're a breast cancer survivor.
I am 2 years cancer free, so yes.
You kicked cancer's ass. Congratulations.
I totally did.
And you want to help other people. Explain how Thank God It's Natural came about.
Sure. So long story short, almost 15 years ago, I graduated from law school. And back then, how would I put this? Straight hair was totally everywhere. It was the way to be professional. And so when I was starting work at my law firm, I wanted to wear my hair curly, but there weren't really products available in mainstream retail outlets that catered to this hair type. And so I went on to invent them for myself so that I wouldn't have to chemically straighten my hair anymore. And so that's how Thank God It's Natural came to be.
Good for you. You're doing pretty well. Multi-million dollar company.
Yeah, trying to. It's a lot of work. So
we're just going to adjust your microphone a little bit.
Sure.
There's something wrong with that microphone.
Is there a reason that the products you were looking for were not available at that time?
Well, what am I missing? No, the thing about it is they weren't available because everyone was kind of trying to fit one type of beauty standard, which was like straight hair, long, straight, silky hair. And curly hair wasn't just viewed as being profitable. It's just easier for everyone to look the same. And so that's why they weren't really available on the market.
All right.
Congratulations on your company.
Thank you.
You obviously can speak from experience. You said 2015 you were diagnosed?
Correct. I was 36 at the time. I'm 39 now.
You started treatment in 2016. Had you been getting mammograms?
I had not, because what the situation is, when you're under 40, your breast tissue tends to be so dense that it's not effective at reading. But when young women do go to the doctors and they cite some type of concern, generally the doctor's first inclination is, if they don't have a family history of breast cancer, their first inclination is, oh, it's something hormonal or this is an abnormality. Some doctors will push and require you to get a mammogram, but it's not something women are required to do regularly under the age of 40.
And you don't think about it. It's like we were talking off the air. It's something that you think about that older women
get. We definitely, myself personally, and kind of the people that I've talked to along this journey who were diagnosed under 40, were in complete shock, because you always think of it as a disease or a condition that someone is afflicted with when they're like in their late 40s or 50s or even in their 70s. But you don't think you're going to meet people who are diagnosed with this at 22 or 26.
Family history or no family history?
No family history. Nothing. At all. So this was a complete surprise.
Go ahead.
When the doctor tells you the news, the unfortunate news, your thoughts are what?
You totally like black out, and for a second there, you think you're going to die, because you think, even though you see people being cancer survivors, it just comes out of nowhere. Particularly, I had a healthy lifestyle. Like, I didn't eat meat. I worked out regularly. So you feel like you've done everything right, and still you're sitting here with this diagnosis. But I do think everyone, at some point, it crosses their mind. Like, you're like, this is it.
Yeah.
So.
And it's not fair when you take care of yourself. Cancer does not discriminate
sure
at all.
It doesn't.
About 40 years ago, my grandmother had breast cancer. It wasn't very common back then.
Okay.
And they had performed a mastectomy, and she had chemo. And back then, they used radiation frequently, but they weren't quite sure of exactly how to use it. And she actually suffered from severe radiation burns because they were kind of experimenting on what you do with it. It has come so far in the last 40 years.
It definitely has. Like, the treatment is definitely customizable. I think probably 40 years ago, they viewed cancer as this general thing, but now we have hormonally positive, hormonally negative. And so every kind of treatment plan is customized to the patient, to their cancer, to their DNA. And so it's so many more advancements now. And like they say, if you catch it early, particularly stage one or stage two, you have a 95% chance of survival after 5 years. So that's
pretty great odds.
Yeah, that's really great odds.
Is there a discussion at some point of options of what plan of action to take, or was that not part of the discussion?
Well, there is, because it's funny, along this journey, particularly as a young woman, I thought my experience would mirror every other young woman, but you know, there are people who are like, I'm not doing chemo. I want to, you know, go the natural route. When you're young and you're diagnosed with cancer, even as a child, they want to be as aggressive as possible because your lifespan is so much longer. So when you're 36, they're like, we want to do chemo, we want to do radiation, and we want to do surgery. If you're 76, they may just say, this is a slow growing tumor. You're 76. We don't really have to do anything, but we could do radiation. We could do surgery, but generally chemo after a certain point, they're like, your life expectancy is so much less that they don't feel the need to do it. So there was a discussion, but it's really up to the individual as to what they're going to pursue.
Yeah.
How important is a positive mental attitude when you're fighting cancer?
So I tell people when I was first diagnosed with cancer, I was total cancer patient. Most people feel that way because you have so many tests, so many appointments, what have you. And then there was a turning point where I had a meeting with Target where I had to give this presentation. And I was so nervous, even though I normally don't get nervous. And when I finished the presentation, they're like, that was the best presentation we heard all day. And for me, it taught me that I had to view myself more than a cancer patient. I had to say, I'm a daughter, I'm a best friend, I'm a businesswoman, I love watching Real Housewives of Potomac. Like, I had to like accept all of these things and kind of go back to living my life and just accept that cancer was a part of me, but it wasn't all of me.
Right. That's a good point. We have to take a quick break, and then we will continue speaking with Christia Donaldson, founder and CEO of Thank God It's Natural, TGIN. It's a line of hair and skin products made with all natural ingredients. What is the website and social media for people to check out?
The website is thankgoditsnatural.com, and the social media handles on Instagram is TGI Natural.
Perfect. Quick break. It's Bill. It's Wendy at 720 WGN. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, and Christia Donaldson is in the studio with us, breast cancer survivor. What I wanted to talk to you about was your website. There are so many things going on. You can go to thankgoditsnatural.com. Black women in Chicago are 42% more likely to die from breast cancer. That's a fact?
Yeah, that's a fact. And that's also nationwide. But it's like, it's not attributable to race. It's more attributable to socioeconomic factors. So people don't understand that when black women, as well as underinsured or uninsured women, face some of the similar challenges, which is, you know, when you think cancer treatment, but no one thinks about the cost of childcare or the fact that going to Northwestern, it costs $14 a day to park when you have to go 60 times, maybe more in a single year, or things like having the ability to take time off from work, to rest after your treatments, or just having to choose or make choices between your medication and your rent. So these are kind of some of the socioeconomic factors that contribute to why those disparities exist in Chicago. But in places like New York, that number actually drops to 19%, and in San Francisco it's 0%. So
well, how do we fix that? There must be some way to change it or fix it, huh?
So I think in terms of the fixing it, we're working to do that with my foundation. As one, is a little bit of it has to do with awareness. Two, it has to do with putting people in touch with the resources that allow them to not have financial barriers to their treatment. And then thirdly, there are some things with respect to government. There are some systemic issues within our healthcare system that impact these disparities. So like at a hospital like Northwestern, a radiologist has been fellowship trained. So they may look at 10,000 breast imaging a year. That's all they do. But if you live on the south side and go to a safety net hospital, your radiologist may look at broken bones, arthritis, slip disc, and breast cancer. So those are some of the challenges. I'm not going to say that can't be fixed, but there are higher barriers given how segregated the city of Chicago is in terms of its healthcare.
Mm.
There's a picture of you without your hair, and you're still beautiful.
Thank you.
Still beautiful.
I'll take it.
ThankGodIt'sNatural.com, and some of portions of the proceeds are going to benefit whom?
So one organization will be the Metropolitan Chicago Breast Cancer Task Force, and what they do is, again, help subsidize mammograms at the safety net hospitals, as well as provide women with breast navigation services at safety net hospitals on the south and west side. And why those breast navigation services are so important is that at a Northwestern, you have several breast navigators on duty. So when you're overwhelmed and you don't know what, you know, adrenomycin is or when to take your medication or whatever, there's always someone you can pick up the phone and call and get information from. Whereas at some safety net hospitals, they don't have those resources. And so we want to help finance that to, again, start chipping away at some of the disparities that exist.
Christy, after you've been through something like this, after you've gone through cancer, how do you view life differently than before?
amazing question. I think I, one, am just so grateful for my health and to wake up every day. And then two, I live life feeling like I have more than enough. Like when you're pre-cancer and very ambitious like I was, and I think I still am, but it was always about having more, whether it was like more accomplishments or more stores or more sales. And now on the other side of that, I'm just like, I'm good. I have my health and everything else. I'm like, I have enough. And yeah.
So now you want more life.
Yeah, just more life, more years. I'll take that, you know? So I think that's kind of my change or shift in perspective. Yeah.
We were talking off the air about the way breast cancer is treated now. These 3D mammography, and I believe sometimes there's 4D, isn't mm-hmm. there? They can find something as small as like a little pinprick, and that's the key, is get a mammogram every year. I checked my date book. I'm due November 10th, so I'm going to do it. Another thing is if you do get a diagnosis, it's not necessarily a death sentence, but there's something we just discussed off the air about paying for it, something maybe people aren't aware of.
Yeah, so one thing I don't think people are aware of is that many hospitals offer payment plans, and it doesn't necessarily matter what your financial status is. You could be like, you know, extremely, you know, less fortunate, or you can be extremely wealthy, but hospitals, and it doesn't require any like real paperwork. You just get a bill in the mail and you're like, hey, can I put this on a monthly payment plan? That could be $200, that could be, you know, $5,000, and they're more than willing to work with you. So you could pay $25 a month, no interest for like several years. You just have to be willing to ask for that option. But Northwestern now is required, I guess, by their board of directors to have people sign a consent saying that they're aware of the financial assistance that they can offer.
A lot of people would just freak out and ignore it.
And then collections comes, and then it, you know, you don't have to find yourself in that situation just by picking up the phone and just saying, hey, I'm going to send you some money. I just want to spread this bill out monthly.
All right. The website is thankgoditsnatural.com. And you're on Facebook, Christia TGIN Donaldson.
Yes, I am.
Also look for her on Twitter and Instagram. What's your handle?
Sure. TGIN CEO. And you can find me on LinkedIn as well.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Wendy.
First and foremost on your health.
Thank you.
Cancer free.
Yes.
Love it.
Thanks.
And congratulations on your business.
Thank you so much.
I did that second.
I'll take it.
It's a good running order, isn't it? Thanks, Christia. Greatly appreciated. We'll take a quick break. We're headed toward the stream. Come join us on the stream. It's a lot of fun. Or stick around here for the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon, I believe, from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.